verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is anything excellent and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things that you learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Thank God for the reading of His Word. So, I think that this scripture, we preach it and read it, and we read it, and it's like, oh, I love this scripture. And probably most of us have it underlined in our Bible. But I think it should be understood in the context of what was said in chapter 3 when Paul was speaking to this church, and he was saying, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And in that context, you know, everything that he said after that is really, as we've talked about it, has really been information that's been dispensed to us so that we know how to work out our salvation. There's a lot of different areas that need attention. And so we're definitely not talking about a works righteousness. We're just talking about the fact that, hey, I am now a Christian. I belong to Jesus. How should that be lived out in my life? How can I best model Him and conform to His image and be His faithful witness? And that, I think that's what Paul's talking about. I want you to work out your salvation. You've got to. You've got to live it. And so there are things that we need to do and know how to do. And so he says to us, rejoice in the Lord always. Always rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. There's a song like that. Y'all remember the song, right? Rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. You know, we could go around singing that all day long, right? Because you're supposed to do it always, right? But we don't do that. I don't think that that's really what the Scripture means that we're supposed to do, right? But so I'm looking at this word, and I'm thinking about this word rejoice. We could, and probably a lot of us do, listen to Christian music, and maybe we join in and we sing. But I sort of like the song that we sang this morning, because it said, in my heart, there is a melody. It's already there. As I'm living my life, it's being lived out in heaven's harmony. Hallelujah. And so, I'm happy this morning. I can tell you right now that while I'm not singing a song to you, I'm rejoicing. And I'm sure that a lot of you rejoice a lot throughout the day. And I think that's what Paul's talking about. Always be rejoicing. Not that you're always singing a song, but there's always a song in your heart. And why is that song there? Well, I was looking into this word rejoice, and it had quite a few meanings. Rejoice means to rejoice exceedingly. That makes sense. It means to be glad. It means to be well. And it means to thrive. It's used that way in other passages of Scripture. That same Greek word is used where it's translated thrive. And so I got to thinking about this idea of thriving. Thrive in the Lord always. And again, I say thrive. It doesn't sing well. Thrive in the Lord always. Again, I say to thrive. We might not want to sing it, but man, learning how to thrive in the Lord will keep the song in your heart. It'll keep the song. You'll be walking in heaven's harmony. You know? Everything about that song becomes true. The love of God wells up within us. And so the word thrive means to grow vigorously and develop successfully, to prosper, to flourish, to be in a very good and healthy state. Now, don't you think that's what the Lord wants for us in our Christian walk? He wants us to be in a very good, healthy state. Healthy, I'm talking about healthy spiritually. Healthy in our relationship with the Lord. There is this idea of thriving has the idea of walking with God, of being in His presence, of knowing that He's there and that He loves us and that He cares for us. And when we're thriving in the Lord, I can promise you that rejoicing will be the result of that. The fruit that will be the joy that's in our heart. Because the more we're walking with the Lord, the more we feel the presence of the Lord in our lives, the more joy it adds to our heart. Why? Because when God is close, His wisdom is also close. And the problems that we face seem to have answers. We know which direction to go. We know how to walk in the midst of the trouble that's going on in life. I mean, we all experience trouble, and we've even had testimony about it this morning. That's because trouble comes to every life. Jesus said it would. Okay? But He did something about it. He overcame the world. So He told us, you can take courage. Well, when we walk with Him, He's living in our heart. We're walking with Him daily. And as we enjoy that walk with Him, it produces a joy in us. There is a rejoicing that is going on in our lives. And so I put to you today that when you're thriving in the Lord, rejoicing will be the visible fruit of that. Other people will be able to tell, man, there's just something about them. They've got a joy. They've got, they're happy. There's a peace. Something's going on in their life. I want to know what it is. I remember being in college and being at the, I think I told you this story recently, and so I won't make it a long story. I'll make it really short. It was after a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting. We're in a Pizza Hut, and we're at a table, and there's probably about eight of us, and then there's a table of four over along the wall, and they've got a couple of pitchers of beer, and we got water. I'm not making any observations about that, just to say that one of those guys got up and came over and said, man, we're the ones drinking beer, but you guys are the ones that are laughing and happy. What's going on here? And we said, well, we just came from a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting. We've been talking about Jesus. He noticed. He saw it. He was attracted to it. They came into the place to drink some spirits to try to lift their spirits. And we came into the place rejoicing, because we've been walking close to Jesus. And He noticed. He got up from His table and He came all the way across the room, to the middle of the room, not across the room. Came to the middle of the room and spoke to us about it. Wanted to know, why are you so happy? Awesome. We didn't get an opportunity to pray with Him. He went back to His table. But praise the Lord for that. It's an example of what it means to thrive in the Lord. There's just something about our lives that's different when we keep Him close, when we live with Him and walk with Him daily. Helps us through our witnesses. Helps us to overcome temptation. Helps us to make the right decisions as we go through life. So He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Let it always be that's how you're living your life. And He says, and again I'll say it, rejoice. Be one who's thriving in the Lord. And then He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. I love that. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The word gentleness, it carries the rich nuances of reasonableness, forbearance, graciousness, fairness, mildness. But it's not weak. You hear some of those words and you might think that sounds weak, passive, or overly soft. But that's not really what this word is about. It describes a more mature, Christ-like character that doesn't insist on having its own way, doesn't insist on personal rights, doesn't retaliate harshly, but shows patience even when wronged, yields graciously when appropriate. You might think of it as having a big heart, but it's really about a life that's been affected by the presence of Christ. Because we know that we're being conformed to the image of Christ, and there were times when Jesus stood and spoke harshly with the Pharisees, but with the people, who he was very tender-hearted. With most people, he was very gracious and very helpful and forbearing. The woman who was caught in adultery, where are your accusers? I don't condemn you either. Go your way and sin no more. Gracious forbearance. Offering grace. Offering an opportunity for her to change her ways. Praise God. So what he says is, let your gentleness be known to all men. So the point is that this Christ-like character should be something that other people see. It's something that should be evident to all. And that makes a whole lot of sense when you're talking about thriving in the Lord. The thriving and having a wonderful, well-rounded relationship with Jesus Christ, walking with Him daily, produces this joy and this peace and this rejoicing that is evident in our life. And then when we act with people in gentleness and love them with the love of the Lord, other people see it. It's supposed to be lived out. Our faith is supposed to be lived out loud. People are supposed to see that our life is different. We're not supposed to hide it. Don't put your light under a bushel basket. Let it shine before all men. Hallelujah. And then the Scripture says the Lord is near. It doesn't say because the Lord is near. It just says the Lord is near. I've often thought, and I may be wrong, inspired by God. The punctuation also was added. And so to know exactly where that line, the Lord is near, should be, but I'll tell you this, If you know the Lord is near, if you're living, I mean, everybody knows the Lord is near. But we don't always act like we know the Lord is near, right? But if you know the Lord is near, it may affect how you act toward other people. If you're aware of His presence, well, let me tell you this. If you're thriving in the Lord, then you know the Lord is near. Hallelujah. If you're thriving and you're walking with Him, then the one thing you know, without a doubt, is that the Lord is near. And if you know God's right there with you and He's watching every single thing and there's an awareness, it changes the way you act. You begin to show the gentleness. But also, when it comes to anxiety, if the Lord's near, if you know the Lord is near, there's no need to be anxious. Thriving in the Lord, knowing that the Lord is near, can help with those anxious feelings, can take away oftentimes that anxiety. There's two ways we can look at that line, the Lord is near. You can look at it as that God's right here with you, or you can look at it that Jesus is coming, and the time of His coming is near. It's definitely closer now than it was when we started the service, isn't it? But we still don't know when it's going to be. But sometimes we get so comfortable, and I think sometimes so familiar. And that's the scary part. We don't want to be in a place of familiarity. Because if we are familiar with the Lord, then that doesn't mean that we respect the Lord, or we're in awe of the Lord, or that we're reverencing Him. But if we're thriving in the Lord, then God's in His rightful place, and we see Him in His rightful place, that He's fearful, and that we are to reverence Him in all that we do. And then we should understand, He's coming back. And it might be today. And sometimes we don't live like that. We don't live like Jesus is coming back today. But in their day, they really thought that Jesus was coming back before that generation passed away. The Scripture sounded like that. Other things that people had said. And so they were expecting Him to come back any moment. That kind of expectation that Jesus is coming back and it might be in the next hour should change the way you live. I mean, we sometimes think, I've got my whole life to live. I can get serious about Jesus later. You may not be able to get serious about Jesus later. He might come back before you make that decision. You might be in a car wreck and die before the day's over. I mean, my point is, we don't know how long our time is going to be on this earth. We don't know exactly when we're going to meet Jesus. But the thing is, if He's near, there's no need to be anxious about it, right? Hallelujah, I was thinking about that. Reasons to be anxious for nothing. There's two reasons in this Scripture to be anxious for nothing. Because the Lord is near, and because we are thriving in the Lord. Because we're daily rejoicing in the Lord. Those are two reasons not to be anxious, to be anxious for nothing. Hallelujah. The Lord's right here with us. He cares. He wants to be involved in the affairs of our life. To thrive in the Lord means to prosper and to be in a good state and health in your relationship with Him. To know that God loves you, that He cares for you, that He's right there to help you in your time of need. And when we know that and we trust that, we can begin to cast the anxiety off. It can begin to fall away. And then he says, and I believe these are keys to beating anxiety, okay? Here's the key. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Prayer. We could probably all say, I need a makeover in my prayer life. I'm pretty sure we could step it up a bit in our prayer life. I'm pretty sure we could all spend a little more time in prayer, get a little more serious about, you know, being specific about a lot of the prayers that we pray. We pray a lot of times in generalities, and that's okay. But this scripture says, in everything, in everything that's going on in your life, by prayer. And I think that word prayer there includes all of just what we think of as prayer, generally. Making requests to God, talking to God, drawing near to Him, bringing our hurts and our cares, everything that's going on in our life. But then it says in supplications. And supplication is like a formal petition. And so that means spending a little more time. I explained in the newsletter that when my dad had cancer, I actually sat down and wrote a petition. And so that gave me time to think about what I wanted to say to the Lord. It gave me time to look up the scriptures that I was going to. I wanted to be able to stand on the promises. Okay? And so I looked up the promises that I wanted to have there. And then I wanted to be able to go back and refer to that letter every day after we prayed it and be able to thank God for it and to read those scriptures and thank God for Dad's healing. That was a petition. I didn't just pray, Lord, heal Dad. I actually took the time to sit down and look up the scriptures and say, Lord, we're standing on these specific scriptures. And I took it to my family, and we all sat down and we read it together. We looked at it. We talked about it. And I said, this is how we're going to stand. Are y'all ready? And they all said, yeah, we're ready. And we did. Hallelujah. I'm not saying you got to write your prayers down, but I am saying that sometimes in prayer, we need to get a whole lot more specific. And we need to call out the scriptures that we're standing on. Go to God and say, Lord, show me what your word says about what I'm going through and about what's in front of me and what scriptures I need to stand on to trust you. Because the scripture says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So they're already yes. You just got to stand on them. And then every day after, thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you. Remember that prayer we prayed 2 months ago? Hallelujah. We're trusting you. We're believing that you're bringing him through. We're believing that healing's breaking forth in him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I think the scripture says that's what happened with Abraham in Romans chapter 4. It says he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. His wife was older than the hills. And he was a little bit older than her. And she's way past the age of childbearing. But God said, I'm giving you a child. It's going to be through her, and you're going to name him Isaac. And they trusted. He believed God. Even though people were saying, that's ridiculous. Well, I'm giving God the praise for it. I'm thanking him for it. It's going to happen. I've got a child through my wife. And Sarah's going to bear a child, and we're going to name him Isaac. Hallelujah. Because God said, and we're giving him the praise and the thanksgiving for it. That's what Romans chapter 4 says. Hallelujah. Of course, I embellished, but that's what it says. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Let them be known to God. And it says, as a result of that, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension. Hallelujah. That's what we need, isn't it? A peace that goes past what I'm able to comprehend. Because if we just stay in our own mind, man, that's the devil's playground, isn't it? But when you've got a peace that goes past comprehension, that surpasses all comprehension, and it's able to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, that's wonderful. Hallelujah. That's worth spending time. That's worth drawing near to God. That's worth having a thriving life so that you can know God is near, so that you can walk in this kind of prayer life that brings these kind of results. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatever's true. Amen? Whatever's honorable. Whatever's right. Whatever's pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is of good repute. If there's any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Hallelujah. We got a whole book worth. Inspired by God. The things you have learned. He goes on. He's explaining. He's really letting him know. Everything that's worthy of praise, all those things that are lovely, all things I just talked about, the things which you've learned. The things that you've learned. The things that you have received. The things that you have heard. And the things that you've seen in me. How I live it out, Paul says. Practice these things. Hallelujah. I love it. Put the Word of God into work in your life. Practice it. And here he says it again. And the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Is there any doubt that God wants us to live in peace? That he wants peace to triumph in our life? To give us a peaceful heart and a peaceful mind? To be able to sleep? To be able to enjoy life? Hallelujah. He wants it for us. He's given it to us. But take everything that you've learned. Take everything that you've received. Everything that you've heard. Everything that you've seen in others who live for the Lord. And put it all into practice. Practice living close to God. Practice living a thriving lifestyle. Practice knowing that the Lord is near. Knowing that He's near to you and knowing that it's near to His time of coming. Practice it. And the peace of God. Oh, hallelujah. And the God of peace. Not the peace of God, but the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it wonderful how it ends? He'll be with you. He'll be near you. He'll draw nearer to you than what He already has been. Hallelujah. He will be with you intimately in everything that you're going through to help you. Hallelujah. To comfort you. To show you the truth. Everything that the Scripture says about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm going to invite the musicians to come. And we're going to sing this hymn of invitation. And as we do, I'm asking you to remember how good you have it. Everything about this meal that we observed this morning, Jesus did that. He laid His life down and He bled and died so that we could thrive in our relationship with Him. So that we could walk with God and be near to Him. Better than it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Restored to fellowship with God. So that He could be with us. So that the God of peace could be right here with us. Giving us His peace. I'm going to invite you all to stand. And if you need peace in your heart and your life today, if the Spirit of God speaking to you, if you need to make a decision for Him, I invite you to come as we sing.